On this week's Talking with Topher, do I think a ban is the best idea for anything? No, I don't. I think bans cause more issues than these people think it helps.
I peed in your soup.
What are you doing crossing the train tracks? And now let's get into episode 201. What is happening, TWT fans? It is so good to be back on this February 8th, 2024. And I'm so glad that you're all back for some more. What is happening, everybody? Before I get into anything today, let me start off by saying thank you. Thank you to all my subscribers. Thank you to the new subscribers. I greatly appreciate all of you. If you're new to the podcast, remember to subscribe, all right? It's free for you. It helps the podcast grow. It keeps me coming back. It allows this thing to grow, all right? You really do help the podcast week after week. In order to do any of this stuff, subscribing is the most important thing. So please be doing that. And then, of course, if you want your opportunity to be on the podcast or tell your story or a story that just needs to be heard, TALKIN with Topher at gmail.com is the official email of the podcast. You can send an audio, video, or type it out, but you got to send it over to the official email of the podcast, TALKIN with Topher at gmail.com. And then, of course, the Linktree. All right, go to the Linktree link. It's going to help you find everything TWT, all the social, all the platforms. So go follow and subscribe and then copy that link and share it with everybody you know. Help me make the podcast bigger by sharing the Linktree link. All right, so it's right there in the description below the video and it helps you find everything TWT and it makes it just that easy to share with everyone. And now with all that out of the way, let's get into today's podcast. All right, so I've got a short amount of time to get some stuff done, and because of that, I don't have a lot to say about me or what's going on in my life. You know, I'm almost a year without vaping. Getting close. April 14th will be a year for me. Tyler just hit a year with no vaping. So actually the day that I'm recording right now, January 31st, is his 1 year, no vaping. I mean, when you apply yourself and get rid of an addiction, we may be substituting with pouches to help get rid of the addiction, but at the same time, having that first year behind you, whenever you're trying to accomplish anything, means everything. And I don't want to shortchange it at all. It is an accomplishment. It is, you know, it's so enjoyable to finally hit that mark that when that happens, you feel different. You look at everything and you're like, all right, I got 1 year. It's got to be a little bit easier to get to the second one, even though we're still doing it one day at a time. You are capable of doing that day after day a little bit easier. So even though a year is not that much time in the grand scheme of things, that year to you or me or Tyler or anybody getting rid of an addiction is an amazing, amazing accomplishment. So to anybody out there who's doing whatever you're doing, if you want to tell your story and let me know how long you've been sober, I mean, I've talked to so many people that are 3 months in, a week in, 5 years in, you know, 15, 20 years. So a wide variety of different sobrieties from people's addictions. It's just so encouraging to keep yourself going forward. You know, when I talk to somebody and they're 3 months in and they hear that I'm over 7 years off of alcohol, when we're discussing alcohol as the addiction, they always go, wow, really? And I go, yeah, man, you know, you just keep going day in, day out, you know, no drink. And, you know, one foot in front of the other. And they're like, wow, that it's so inspiring to those people that don't have a year or a couple years to keep going. It gives them something to strive for because they know that they're not the only ones. And that's what these stories do. They allow us to sometimes see how bad things are going for other people. And then you realize your situation's not as bad. Or it can also be that you see somebody doing so well with theirs that it makes you want to do well with yours. So these stories, sharing these things and, talking to so many people about addiction has really just, it's so, man, it's exciting. It's exciting because I get excited when people are just getting into it, right? Because I've been doing it for so long now that I lose the sight of the excitement almost from year to year now. You know, I'm looking for when I have 10 years under my belt. I'm not really looking at, you know, the eighth year or the ninth year. I want 10. I want 10. You know, it's like where I'm at right now in jiu-jitsu. I love being where I'm at, but I want that brown belt. I want that brown belt so bad that I can taste it, you know, and that's how I feel with my addiction to alcohol, that like I just want that 10 year, but it's not going to happen for 2.5 years. So I have to be patient and I can't rush it. And, you know, I don't know how I'm going to feel when I get there, you know, and I sometimes, even though it's my sobriety and I understand myself, it's kind of close because, you know, they're going to tell me when I'm ready for my brown belt. But when 10 years hits, I'm ready for that 10 years. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It's just, I've been thinking about it a lot. I talked to a few people in jiu-jitsu and I was just like, wow, you know, there's so many more people getting rid of alcohol today that it's just, it's kind of exciting. It's kind of exciting because this was not a conversation you could regularly have. If you were at a party or you were somewhere and you were like, I don't drink, it was a million and one questions. Why? What's wrong? What's wrong with you? You know what I mean? You just go down the list of all the annoying questions you would get that would start to make you feel uncomfortable. And then you're like, oh, well, I don't want to go to these places because I don't want to answer these questions. Or you go to these things and then these questions annoy you to the point where like you don't even want to answer them. So then you break your sobriety so that you don't have to answer these questions. And now it seems like everywhere you go, it's the common story. It's the common thing that's happening amongst all of us, that alcohol is becoming a pastime. I mean, there's breweries going out of business. There's bankruptcies everywhere. And I'm not excited to see that because I don't want to see people lose work. But it's just, you can see that the world, or maybe the U.S., is changing. And people are realizing how bad and poisonous alcohol is for them today. But, you know, I started this off with vaping, but addiction's addiction, you know, and I am excited for April, you know, cause I'll have a year separated from it. These pouches have been helping tremendously and, I can't recommend them enough. I really can't. On another note, before I get into the main topic of today, is what is going on? All right. So everybody, I don't know if you keep up with the news, if you, look into things, but as far as I'm concerned, you know, we are at war with Iran. We accidentally let a drone fly too close because we thought it was American, and then it bombed us. 3 people die, 40 injured, and if this was happening in America today, right now, we had a drone come in, bomb us, this other government had boots on the ground, we would say we are at war. But because we are admitting to our fault by letting the drone in, we don't have to call our retaliation war. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And the only reason I bring this up is because everything is escalating. And as of today, I do not believe North Korea can't reach us. They just did a 3rd ballistic missile test in a week. The increase of all of this happening is actually frightening. And everybody should be at the edge of their seat. But the simple fact that we keep being told that we can keep missiles out, we can deflect, has now been proven to be a lie. It's a false security blanket. Right? Isn't that what it is now? You just proved to all of us that our high security is not there. It's non-existent. As far as I'm concerned, it's non-existent. I mean, you accidentally let in a drone that you thought was American? This makes no sense to me. Shouldn't you be at the point, because things are escalating over there, shouldn't you be at the point where you're like, I don't know if it's ours or not. We should probably just shoot it down. So, can they keep out missiles from hitting us? Can North Korea reach us now? All of this could be true. And if all of this is true, this escalation around the world right now is no joke. It's no joke. And to sit here and think that we're safe, I think is, again, they're trying to feed us something that's not true. And they keep doing it over and over and over again. And it's kind of frightening at this point because you believe in your lies so much that there's no way for reality to shine through, right? There's no way for them to backtrack this now. They're basically, their heels are dug in. And just like everything, vaccines, food, and now our security. Now our security, whether or not we're going to be safe from another country trying to attack us. I don't think we're safe, and I do think it's something to worry about today. I just never seen anything like this, and I find it to be very frightening. I really do. I do not know what the future holds. But as of right now, with all of this tension growing and all of these wars popping up and all of this violence and fighting, it really doesn't seem like there's a way to backtrack this. So now we're funding 2 wars, and we're basically in the middle of a war. I mean, this is some crazy, crazy shit going on today. Crazy shit. But let's take a quick break so you can hear from my sponsor. Valentine's Day is right around the corner, everybody. And at Slow Down Clothing, the ultimate destination for all the tattoo-inspired fashion you've been searching for. Heading to slowdownclothing.bigcartel.com is the first step in unlocking a world of breathtaking art and incredible style. But wait, there's more. With the exclusive promo code TOPHER, you can enjoy a remarkable 10% off your entire purchase. Yes, you heard that right. a whole 10% off just for using the code T-O-P-H-E-R at checkout. Our inventory is constantly growing, with fresh designs and styles making their way to our shelves regularly. Whether you're treating yourself or searching for the perfect gift for your loved ones during the upcoming holiday season, Slow Down Clothing has something for everyone. And with Valentine's Day just around the corner, there's no better time to revel in our mesmerizing collection. We take pride in curating a selection that captures the essence of tattoo culture, showcasing the incredible artistry and creativity of tattoo-inspired brands. Each piece tells a unique story, making your fashion statement the true work of art. At Slow Down Clothing, you'll find much more than just garments. You'll discover an entire lifestyle woven into each design. So why wait? Visit slowdownclothing.bigcartel.com and experience the magic for yourself. Remember, the promo code T-O-P-H-E-R is your ticket to unlocking that irresistible 10% discount at checkout. Embrace the uniqueness, celebrate the art, and indulge in the allure of Slow Down Clothing today. And I'm back, everybody, and we're going to get into some Topher's Topics. All right, so what I got here for my first one is New York State ban starting in April at grocery stores. So the mayor of New York wants to ban these items from being sold over-the-counter to minors. Back in October, Governor Hochul signed a law stating the New York State would be the first state to ban selling over-the-counter weight loss and muscle-building supplements to minors. Apparently, there is not enough evidence on safety of consuming. Which, yes, none of this stuff that we consume that's a supplement is FDA approved. So because it's not FDA approved, when they call it a supplement, it doesn't have to be FDA approved. You can just sell it. Now, there's no age requirement. There's no nothing. So this ban would be in New York and New York only, where you would actually probably have to go to what, the pharmacy? Or I guess you would have to implement a age check before you check out with these items. So they're probably going to put them in lock cases. They're probably going to have employees go grab them for you. Then you can get denied at the register if you don't have proper identification. But what are they going to make the age? 18? 21? I mean, everything's 21 now, but that seems a little ridiculous. You should be able to buy these things at 18. So hopefully the age is 18. I'm not against anybody under the age of 18 using these things, but you do have to remember that your body is still growing, right? So like manipulating your body at under the age of 25 for males, maybe 18 to 20 for females, you're not fully developed yet. So anything that you do to your body while you're still growing could mess up the growth of your body. Now, the only reason I say that is because smoking was supposed to stunt your growth. It causes brain development to slow down. And I used to smoke when I started smoking when I was 9 years old. So I started drinking when I was 10. I started smoking pot when I was 14. All of these things probably slowed down my development. Now, was it the end of the world for me? No. But I do have a lot of problems retaining information. I have a lot of problems focusing and concentrating on a lot of things. I have a lot of problems, right? If I had made it to full development without these things, Would it be a different story? Or would I still be the same person? I don't know. I don't know. Do I think a ban is the best idea for anything? No, I don't. I think bans cause more issues than these people think it helps, because they're going to go find a way to get this stuff. If they're already using it, they're going to continue using it, and they're going to find any means or any way to use it. So every time you put a ban on something, you make that something more desirable. It's the complete opposite of what you're trying to do. I understand that I feel like it should be the parents' responsibilities. It shouldn't be these companies' responsibilities. It shouldn't be the grocery store's responsibilities. It shouldn't be the government's responsibility to tell us what we can and cannot do with our bodies. If you're under the age of 18, it should be your parents' decision. If you're over the age of 18, it should be your fucking decision. It's just having drugs illegal. It makes them more desirable. It makes them more of something that people want because they have been told they can't have it. So I don't believe in bans, but I also think it's a good idea to maybe educate the kids or your children that doing these things to yourself while you're a young person that is growing, it's going to fuck with you. It's going to mess up your development. And if they want to take the chances and the parents want to allow them to take these chances, then we should allow them to do these things and make these choices. But I also don't believe in allowing children to have surgeries. And I don't believe in children taking hormones to change their bodies. I don't think that should be allowed by the adult or the child until they're capable of making their own decisions. Because when you're a child, you make impulsive decisions. I made an impulsive decision this morning, and I'm already regretting it. Why? Because when we make impulsive decisions, it's not a decision of the mind. It's a decision of the body and the heart. Therefore, it's all based off of feeling. We can't always base a decision off of feeling. Actually, most of the time, we probably shouldn't. When you're feeling excited or full of joy, you probably shouldn't be making decisions. When you're full of depression and angst and worry, you probably shouldn't be making decisions. Or if you do make a decision, you may want to think about it for a little bit before you act upon it. But that's not the way this works. That's not the way we work as humans. We get excited. We get joyful. We make a decision. So, and we act upon it right after. It's not always the best way to do things. I don't think that this ban is helpful in any way, but it is a good idea to get the message out that while you're developing as a child, anything you put into your body could negatively hurt your development. I do believe that. I do believe what I've done when I was a child helped with what I'm dealing with today. Let's see here. Woman was arrested at an airport in Colombia with 130 endangered poisonous frogs worth $130,000. So these frogs, these poisonous frogs, are worth $1,000 each. Look at these little suckers. Okay, so I'm a stupid person. What are you doing with poisonous frogs? Why are these worth $1,000? This frog that I can't touch or hold or cuddle or feed it a treat. Why is this little tiny frog that could possibly hurt people worth so much? And Why is it worth more than my dog? Which brings me so much joy from day in and day out. It blows my mind. That's the question I have, and they don't answer that in this. They just talk about how she was trying to smuggle it. She stuffed all 130 of them in a suitcase. And then they found it in her luggage. She was flying out of El Dorado International Airport on her way to Sao Paulo, Brazil, via Panama, when she was detained by authorities. Now, how did you find the frogs? I mean, it was probably a bunch of, well, they're cold. They're cold-blooded, right? So if they're cold-blooded, would they show up on an x-ray? Right? Maybe they would. Maybe it would be a whole bunch of little tiny skeletons. Right? You're like, that's weird. Why is there all those little skeletons in there? You see this? You know? But yeah, $1,000 each, 130 of them. The women will be prosecuted for illegal use of natural resources, which carries penalties of 5 to 12 months. Illegal use of natural resources. Interesting. They're a natural resource, these poisonous frogs. But you're going to get 5 to 12 months in prison. Fines up to 56 billion pesos? $14.2 million? You can be fined? Holy shit. They're only worth $130,000. That is not worth the risk, everybody. They're in danger. These tiny frogs are in danger. They're native to Central and South American rainforests and are known as the jewels of the rainforest, according to San Diego Zoo. I have never heard of this. Oh, excuse me. I am fucking sick, everybody. But I am just trying to muscle through this today. It is brutal. Wow, man, I am battling something fucking harsh. Yeah. But this is what I do for all of you out there. I push, push, push. Got to have a podcast every Thursday, no matter what. But man, I had no idea that these frogs, one, were such a, that they were endangered. First of all. Second of all, they're a natural resource of the rainforest. And third of all, they're $1,000 a frog. But $14.2 million in fines and 5 to 12 months in prison? Holy shit, man. I mean, granted, you know, a sentence from dealing cocaine or meth or any illegal drug, it also holds a hefty fine, but usually the risk, I believe, outweighs the penalty. You know, if you're dealing like cocaine, you're making handfuls of money, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. So at some point, you know, getting arrested for that, You get to the point where you're like, okay, I got enough money for lawyers. I can get out of this. I'll be home in 24 hours, blah, 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 blah. You know, you got all kinds of things set in place because you're making so much from doing this. But when you have 130 frogs, you're going to make $130,000, and that won't even cover an eighth of the fine. I mean, it doesn't seem worth it to me. So what is so important about these frogs? Who are the buyers for these frogs, and what are they doing with them? What are they doing with poisonous frogs? What are you going to do with it? You know? It's weird. It's very, very, very odd. Kenneth Eugene Smith executed by nitrogen hypoxia in Alabama, making a first for the death penalty. This is wild. So we are doing so many things today that are so different from what we have done in the past. And now we can kill people by lethal injection of nitrogen. So, my God, nitrogen, right? Doesn't that shit freeze you? So, is this basically turning your insides into a popsicle? I mean, it's got to be painful. It's got to be. Let's see what they say.
Again, though, with a first of its kind execution in Alabama just last night, convicted killer Kenneth Smith was his name, was put to death using nitrogen gas, a method that has never been used in an execution or tested before. And
Jesus.
Some of the witnesses that saw this death said it was inhumane. Lilia Luciano is here with the disturbing details. Lilia, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gail. In his final words, Kenneth Eugene Smith called out the state of Alabama for using this execution method for the first time on him, saying in part, tonight Alabama caused humanity to take a step backward.
Our son was crying, ever having just watched his father take his last gasp for air.
Deanna Smith broke down in tears as she described watching the execution of her husband, Kenneth Eugene Smith. The 58-year-old was pronounced dead at 8:25 p.m.
What did he do?
Thursday, 22 minutes after he started breathing in nitrogen gas through a face mask, depriving him of oxygen.
He began shaking and writhing, but...
It took 22 minutes? That is way too long to die. Jesus Christ.
He was tied very tightly down.
Lauren Layton, with her CBS News affiliate in Huntsville, Alabama, was one of five reporters who witnessed the execution. They say Smith appeared conscious for several minutes. Then, for at least 2 minutes, he appeared to shake and writhe in the gurney, at times pulling against the restraints. Following that, they say his breath slowed until it was no longer perceptible.
He struggled against his restraints a little bit, but there's some involuntary movement and some agonal breathing, so that was all expected. So nothing was out of the ordinary.
We didn't see somebody go unconscious in 30 seconds.
Right.
What we saw was minutes of someone struggling for their life.
Reverend Jeff Hood was in the execution chamber with Smith. He says Smith was not unconscious in seconds like the state predicted.
We saw minutes of someone heaving back and forth. We saw spit. We saw all sorts of stuff from his mouth develop on the mask.
Smith was sentenced to death for his role in the 1988 murder for hire of Elizabeth Durlene Sennett. The state tried to execute him through lethal injection in 2022, but repeatedly failed to find a vein. His lawyers tried to stop Thursday's execution, calling it cruel and unusual punishment. But
oh my
the Supreme
God.
Court rejected their last-ditch effort.
Nothing happened here today is going to bring Mom back. We're not going to be jumping around, hooping and hollering, but we're glad this day is over.
Alabama's governor said, quote, the execution was lawfully carried out by nitrogen hypoxia, the method previously requested by Mr. Smith as an alternative to the lethal injection. Mr. Smith got what he asked for, and this case can finally be put to rest.
Holy shit, everybody. Oh, my God. I am sorry, but that's crazy. That's absolutely insane. 22 minutes to die. I would rather be electrocuted at that point. I think that is under 10 minutes, maybe even 5. But because you couldn't find a vein, like what? Why do we, if you are lethally injecting somebody, they're going to die. You couldn't find a vein anywhere on that body to put a needle into, like you were only subjected to the arm. I don't understand. If we're killing the person, right? Why do we have to find a vein in the arm? You couldn't use like a main vein in the leg, the thigh. I mean, find a way to go right into the heart. I don't know. There's got to be... This is such a touchy subject in the first place. There has got to be a way to do this so much easier. I mean, there is no humane way to kill something, right? Because at the end of the day, you're just killing something. You personally, by seeing it, go, that was humane because it took less than the amount of time that I would think that it would be inhumane, right? Yeah, you can put your time frame in there. Everybody's different. But that in itself, still not humane. You still took a life, right? We humanely kill cows. We humanely kill chicken. No, we fucking don't. We kill them. But because we found a method that takes an X amount of time, our little brains go, went quickly. That's good. That's humane. Was it? It's still killing. So, if we're killing something or someone, I guess the question would be, should it be 22 minutes before the person dies? I don't think so. I thought it was an injection of nitrogen, which I guess the gas makes more sense, right? But holy shit, man. I just, that was not what I was expecting. That was so much more, and I am really, really disturbed right now. I'm really disturbed. Oh, man. God, it's awful. So, a Missouri teacher accused of poisoning husband, charged with attempted murder. So, this teacher attempted to murder her husband, told police he believed she was poisoning him for several weeks, and allegedly captured her adding a toxic plant to his smoothie. The court records show. So let's see. I mean, now, I will say that the most common way women kill is poison. I don't know what it is about that, but that seems to be a woman's go-to is always poison. So what I'm saying is at this point in time, ladies, you may want to rethink that approach, all right? Because, well, now, I mean, it's being looked at more and more. I mean, it's not exactly the best way to be killing your husband.
Unusual scene out of Jefferson City tonight after a woman allegedly tried to poison her husband with a plant. That plant, called the Lily of the Valley, which toxicology experts say looks pretty, but can lead to heart problems if too much is swallowed.
It can slow the heart rate. It can cause different degrees of what we call heart block. Or there can be risk to raise the potassium level in the body.
Weber says smaller amounts can cause nausea, vomiting, and abdominal pain and would require an immediate call to poison control. Court documents say 37-year-old Sarah Sheffer's husband was suspicious he was being poisoned for 6 weeks and told police he remembers 8 times when the food or drinks he was eating or drinking had a, quote, odd taste. When he confronted Sarah about the taste, she said she had peed in his food. But then she changed her story and said she had put an industrial adhesive in it. Court documents say Sarah's husband put a surveillance camera in the kitchen of their house around New Year's Day, and 15 days later saw Shepherd take something from a bag labeled Lily of the Valley yesterday and put it into a smoothie. Shepherd allegedly later admitted to police that she put the plant into the smoothie to cause her husband harm.
I mean, if you eat enough of it in a short period of time, you can see signs relatively quickly, but it all depends on what part of the plant and how much of it is consumed.
Evans says the most toxic part of the plant are the roots, though every part of the plant is toxic. With the ease of being able to buy it at places
roots?
Like Walmart
and
on
course.
Amazon, Weber says cases in Missouri were relatively low last year.
We did have 5 inquiries about exposures, more often in children who had ingested some of the berries or chewed on a plant.
An unusual scene out of Jefferson City tonight.
Wow. Wow. That's wild. Oh, man. She was putting all kinds of stuff in his food. And to turn around and be like, I peed in your food. I peed in your soup. Come the fuck on. Oh my God. Like, what? She's like, I'm just going to tell him I peed in it. He'll accept that. I mean, I pee on him every night. So, like, she's like, that's why I'm doing this. Because you always make me pee on you. You're like, what the fuck, man? How is that? How is that the thing to say to, you know what I mean? To, like, cover up that you're poisoning him. You're like, I just peed in it. I think society is completely crumbling. It's completely crumbling, everybody. This is so wild. I mean, you can't make this shit up, everybody. You can't. My God. And stop poisoning people, all right? Because I'm sorry, man. We're figuring it out, all right? Especially today, where most people are very conscious of what's going on with their body. You know, Whoop, the Aura Ring, what you're eating on a regular basis. Like, most people today, I believe, the majority of people today are really focused on what they're doing with their body. Not everybody's doing it as well as others, but it's almost like everybody is conscious and awake to all the shit that we're putting into our systems. And a lot more people understand their body today. So if you go and poison a person, they're going to almost immediately recognize that, hey, whoa, I feel something doesn't feel right. What did I eat today? And they're going to go through it and they're going to be like, well, it's all the same. So why do I feel this way? And then they're going to start looking up the symptoms and they're going to start like you, as much as it is difficult to have privacy today, I feel it's also pretty difficult to just like straight up poison somebody. Now, these people are a lot older, you know, and probably not documenting everything that they eat or paying attention to their health as much as the younger generation, myself included, are. But my God, I think you're going to have a real hard time poisoning people today with, because of the way everybody is taking care of themselves. But man, it's crazy. I just peed in your food. Now this, there's a little bit of a deservant scale on a few of these ones here, because I'm telling you right now, this shit is wild. So in Manchester, on January 30th, so this is yesterday, she was in agony, woman hospitalized after being rescued from a garbage truck in New Hampshire. All right. I need to know, because I need to know, what were you doing in the garbage truck and how did it get this far? It's just wild to me. Like, so we're going to find out together. We're going to find out together.
Watch this. People who live in a Manchester, New Hampshire housing complex are wondering how their neighbor ended up lodged in a garbage truck. The woman is in the hospital.
Yeah, we all are.
Serious injuries after firefighters hoisted her to safety. Boston 25 News reporter Drew Carinas is live in Manchester, where residents watched that rescue, Drew, in disbelief.
They certainly did, Mark. Fire officials say the woman was tossed from this dumpster into the garbage truck this afternoon before it was compacted up to four times. The driver drove across the street to empty another dumpster when he looked into a camera in the truck and noticed a woman wedged in the collection of trash.
Oh, you just kicked her out of her home, bro. She was sleeping. Jesus. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh man. This bitch just got evicted. That's what happened. She just got evicted. Oh my God. She was sleeping in the dumpster. You're going to tell me she wasn't sleeping?
We realized somebody was actually in the truck in the compactor because we could hear screaming.
The
frantic oh my God.
From the garbage truck outside their apartment in Manchester, New Hampshire, instantly caught Matthew and Amanda Sizowitz's attention.
She was in agony. Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
Neighbors say the woman who was trapped inside the trash truck is a 60-year-old who lives at the complex.
What?
She told firefighters she somehow fell into a dumpster steps away from her apartment while throwing out the trash.
Wait a minute. She fell into the dumpster. She's 60 years old. Do you know how difficult it is to fall into a dumpster? Okay, maybe she was using the side door. What? None of this makes any sense to me.
Still don't know how long she was in there before she was thrown into the garbage truck, which then compacted several times.
She was dumped at some point. The truck is open on the top, so we were able to lower Stokes' basket from the ladder truck to extricate her.
Firefighters.
But that thing's 3.5 feet tall.
Saw the woman through a camera in the truck and called 911. The Sizowitzes and their four young daughters were among those who watched an intricate and unusual rescue unfold over the course of the next 30 minutes.
Especially for the kids, they're like, what's going on? Because they could hear her, and we're like trying to explain
to them what's going on. I said, girls, when they lift her up, I was like, don't look. Because we didn't know what kind of condition she was in.
First responders.
Yeah, right. That would be traumatizing for kids.
To carefully hoist the woman to safety.
They came and did a really good job. They got her out pretty quick. Went right down, pulled her right out.
The woman who was rescued was transported to an area hospital in serious condition. Firefighters say they were able to speak with her through a side access panel in the truck, but that she wasn't alert enough to answer all of their questions.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Could you imagine just being in the truck and watching, if you even got to see, oh my God, I'm just thinking about all the trash on top of you too. Oh my God. Ugh. I know some of the shit people throw away. Sharing a driveway and with a dual family that rents out. I mean, people, now I'm a different breed, right? I'm a completely weird person. All right, I'm going to put it there. I'm an odd duck. Let's put it that way. So I don't use my outside trash cans for loose trash. The only thing that goes in my outside trash can is bagged or boxed trash so that they stay clean. They don't smell. It makes me feel better. I don't have to wash out my trash can. Now, the people that rent throw everything in the trash. It's all loose. It's all gross. There's carcasses of turkeys and chickens and, I mean, fish bones. Everything. Everything is just loosely thrown in there. And I think that is the way the majority of the world works. I can't do that because I don't want to wash my trash can. These people don't have to wash the trash can, which is also gross. So they always smell during the summer. It is so unenjoyable. But imagine all that trash on you, and then you hear the hydraulics kick in. And all of a sudden, you just start feeling pressure. Oh my God, is that not frightening to think about? Well, this 60-year-old woman somehow got herself stuck inside of a dumpster that is 3.5 feet, almost 4 feet off the ground. So she must have fallen in through the side door. I mean, how do you fall in? How? I am still trying to picture it. Because if you were to walk up to the dumpster, it's chest level with me. So I would have to hop up and get my core, my abs, on the top edge of the dumpster to be able to flip myself in. Now on the side where the door is, that is approximately 2 feet. The bottom of that door is approximately 2 feet off the ground. So at that point, I'm waist level. Approximately. And so if you were to walk up to that and maybe slip on some ice, maybe you could fall in. But could you imagine that, man? Ugh, all that loose trash and then the sound of the hydraulic and all of a sudden, just an amazing amount of pressure being put onto your body. Whew. I don't know, man. And I guess it's a really good thing we're putting cameras inside of the truck. So now you know, don't throw anything out you're not supposed to. There is cameras inside of the truck recording every goddamn pickup. The pickup, the tossing, the compressing, all of it's being recorded, and they can mark every single house pickup. Good to know. I didn't know that. I did not know that there was a camera inside of that truck. So be careful when you're trying to get rid of something. You shouldn't. I guess that would be the only tip I have. But yeah, woo. I just couldn't imagine that. That freaking Jesus Christ. My anxiety was through the roof. My palms are, well, my palms can't sweat anymore with psoriasis. So I'm always dried out now. Yeah. Psoriasis is no joke. So on the deserving scale, I'm going to have to give that at least a 7. I mean, falling into a dumpster in itself is just like, what are you doing? What are you doing? What did you do? How did you wind up in that dumpster? So I'm going to give it a 7. This one here, I keep looking back and forth. I hope everybody likes the new look to everything. I'm still dialing it in, but man struck killed by train while trying to cross commuter rail tracks in Hyde Park. Hey, you're not supposed to be there. What are you doing crossing the train tracks? You mean you crossed the train tracks and you got hit by a train because you were doing something you weren't supposed to be doing? I'm sure there's signs all over the place. Do not cross the train tracks. That's not just for fun. That's because you can get hit and killed by a train. Jesus Christ, man.
Sky 5 is over Hyde Park tonight where a commuter rail train hit and killed a man. This happened this afternoon. Transit police say the man was hit as he was trying to cross from one track to another. The T says Franklin, Foxborough, and Providence-Stoughton trains are now operating on the Fairmont line. Those trains will bypass Back Bay, Ruggles, Forest Hills, and Hyde Park during the investigation.
So, I mean, Jesus Christ. 10. 10 on the deserving scale. Look at the size, right? Hold on, let me go back. Look at the size of the track. I don't know if it's capturing my mouse anymore, but if it isn't, I apologize. If it is, well, then that's good. So look at the track here, right? You got another track on the other side. This is where the train is. So there's three train tracks right across from each other. Over here is nothing. That means you had ample amount of time to dart across this thing. And you also could hear and see the fucking train. So are you one of those idiots that sits at a stop sign and then when you see traffic almost on top of you, you're the one that presses on the gas to cut out in front of everybody and then you go 5 fucking miles an hour? Because that's what I'm imagining here. I'm imagining this guy just strolling across the train tracks, hearing the train, seeing the train, and being like, it'll stop for me. Just some arrogant asshole doing something stupid. So I don't understand how you could physically get hit by a fucking train when you're crossing the railroad tracks. First of all, you shouldn't be there. Second of all, move faster. And third of all, this is your own damn fault, man. It's your own damn fault for being just retarded, right? 10 on a deserving scale. So as of right now, they are trying to develop a way to find out if you've been smoking marijuana. Now, there are some good things about this. So scientists develop new method to test for recent marijuana use with 90% accuracy in federally funded driving simulation study. Okay, so right off the bat, anybody who smokes and drives, which is almost all of us, not really too much to worry about, because anybody who I know that smokes and drives, we do it almost on the regular. It's not a once in a while thing. It's not because we were somewhere and we got high and then we had to drive home. It's not a drinking type of situation. Now, a lot of people like myself who is an alcoholic, I mean, I was also drinking on the regular and driving on the regular. which is why I have two DUEs, even though I was charged with three of them. But the alcohol sobriety test, or the breathalyzer test for alcohol, is going to tell you exactly what's in your system at that very moment, right? So long-term use of alcohol, it doesn't matter because it tells you exactly what's in the body at that moment. This test, as of right now, if you are a regular, everyday user, it will not work for you. That's what the article says. It's what the article says. Now, we're going to dig into it a little bit more, but I wanted that part of the information to go up front because anybody who's an everyday user, it can't tell right now if you just took it. It can only tell that you have X amount in your system at that time. But if you're a regular smoker, that could always be in your system at all times. So I thought that was somewhat good news, but let's see what else they got. They identified an alternative way to test for recent marijuana use that's significantly more accurate than the standard THC blood test that sometimes misrepresent a person's potential impairment depending on frequently they use cannabis, and they're actively working to build on that research with an expanded study. The initial study was funded in part of the National Institute on Drug Abuse and published in the Journal of Clinical Toxicology, could have key criminal justice implications, as police currently rely on the basic THC blood test for evidence of possible intoxication in criminal investigations, such as after a car accident. But the researchers from the University of Colorado point out that the testing standard can be unreliable, especially for frequent cannabis users. Hooray! You still can't figure it out. Haha. Since THC accumulates and lingers in fat tissues, daily cannabis users may maintain constant elevations of THC in their blood, even long after the psychoactive effects abate. That's right. So if you're an everyday fucking user, the amount of THC that's always in your body is the same amount of THC that they are looking for that could be impairing you while you're driving. So, guess what? Keep fucking trying to figure it out, guys, because I don't think you're going to get this one. More accurate method of testing for recent marijuana use, the researchers found in analyzing the molar metabolite ratio of THC to THC-COOH, THC-COO, in the blood. If a person's ratio of active or inactive metabolics meets or exceeds a 0.18 cutoff point, you can feel pretty confident with 98% that the person just used within the past 30 minutes. I don't think so. So obviously, well, wait a minute. You can't tell me that if I... Let's try to figure this out together. So if I'm a regular everyday smoker, which I am, you're telling me now that if you were to have me take this test and it comes up 0.18, that I'm impaired to drive even though I haven't smoked in the last 24 hours? Well, no, you can't tell me I'm impaired because the psychoactive part of it has been over for a day. I'm fully sober, capable of doing anything that anybody else could do. I'm not impaired. But you're telling me if you pull me over and you give me this test and I come up as a 0.18, that you can say that I'm impaired to drive. So already you're showing me holes in this new system. You're already showing me that it's inaccurate. Because it should be able to tell you that 30 minutes ago, I did smoke, but the elevation should be higher then. I don't think that this is a reachable number, right? It's not a real number that they could go by because it's too low. They would need a higher number. Because you can't tell me that if I'm a regular smoker and I have I have the chance of blowing or whatever the fuck this thing is. What is it? A breathalyzer? Maybe it's an instant blood test. Yeah, that's probably what it is. They probably prick your finger or something, which is bullshit too. They shouldn't be allowed to draw your blood. I think normally for the test, they have to take you to a hospital, do they not? Or are they allowed to draw blood at the police station? I don't know. They got all kinds of ways that they can do it. But you just said that I can store this amount in my fat tissue and in my blood cells. But this is going to tell you that I smoked 30 minutes ago. But that's false information. I just told you I haven't smoked in, I don't know, fucking 16 hours. Whatever it is, right? I probably smoke, you know, till 10, 11 o'clock at night. And then I don't smoke again until 5 in the afternoon. You know what I mean? So from 5 to 11, game on. From the time I wake up till 5 in the afternoon, nothing. You cannot tell me that I just smoked 30 minutes ago then. You can't. So instead of reading this on and on and on, I think you should read this article, look into it. But they are, my message to everybody today is they are still trying to figure out how to test people behind the wheel to see if you're impaired for marijuana. And as you can see, it is a difficult task for them to acquire. So, I mean, keep trying. But now that I know this, I know I have an argument against it. So it's fine, but it's not going to work. It's not going to, you just told me it won't work. So, oh man, the robots, they're here. They're everywhere. Ah, Eve the robot can cook, clean, and guard your home. Now, the guarding of the home, man, it just sounds so ridiculous. These things are not picking up weapons. They're not fighting people. What is it going to do? And what's going to stop somebody from fucking knocking this thing over, kicking it in the fucking face or the computer frame, you know what I mean, and shutting it down? Come on. These things are not protecting our homes. This is stupid. We don't want them to protect our homes. That means they're armed and capable of killing people or hurting somebody, which we can't allow that to happen because if AI takes over, we can't have these things fighting us, right? We need to make sure, like I said in one of my last videos, you know, certain words shouldn't even be programmed into these robots. I believe there's other words that they can use instead of using certain words because I don't think it should be part of their vocabulary. I don't think that they should be programmed to be able to do any type of killing whatsoever because once everything gets put together the way that we're always fearing that it's going to get put together, right? We got AI, we got robot bodies, we got intelligence, and then it becomes self-sufficient and game on, right? Then they can figure everything out and they know more than us within two minutes than we'll acquire in 50 years. So we have to do something to stop it, but I don't believe these things can help secure your home or protect you from somebody breaking in at this moment in time. I think that's a stretch. But I talked about the cleaning and the cooking and the laundry and doing all these things. And now, along with Aloha, which was actually more of a skeleton in a sense, it was more of that rough robot look. And this Eve robot looks more like, you know, a toy. And it's a little bit more fun. But it's going to be doing the same thing that the other robot was doing, probably with a little bit more ease because it looks like this one might be able to walk. And if it can walk, that means it can go up and down stairs where the other one, I believe, was on a track or wheels. So it was kind of restricted to the level floor it was on and probably couldn't go up and down stairs, right? So that one was pretty limited where this one seems like it's a little bit more advanced. But still, I want to know, one, how long have we actually been developing all of these robots, right? I feel like it's been the last 30 years, and the last, like, 5 years has been so rapid. So, just like vehicles, right? Have you seen the graveyards in Japan? No, you haven't. Why? Because you have to have a fly a drone into these mountain areas, into these mountainous areas that have these valleys and caves and things going on. And then all of a sudden you zoom in and you will see a graveyard of EVs, a graveyard of Volkswagens, a graveyard of some other type of vehicle, graveyards of bikes and boats and motorcycles. I mean, just advancement after advancement after advancement. What do we do with the trash? We have nowhere to put it. So they find these areas and they make these ginormous fucking graveyards for this shit that can't sell anymore. Well, now we have all these robots. And each robot keeps getting more and more advanced. But it's not like they just make one robot. They make a line of robots. And they're testing out this one model. But there's, I don't know, 10 of them, 100 of them. And then they're like, well, this isn't working so good. This isn't doing so great. So we do. Now we make the next model. Well, what happens to all the old ones? Where do they go? What do we do with all the waste? We're always talking about saving the planet and making being more environmental friendly and cutting down carbon and doing all these, our carbon footprint, cutting down our carbon footprint, right? We're talking about all these things to better the planet because the planet's overheating and we need to worry about it. No, I don't believe that. And again, boom, I'm going to get my little climate change thing. But what the fuck are we doing with all of these? Are we recycling them and turning them into the new bots? I don't believe we are. I believe they go, well, scrap this one. Let's start new. When does it become too much waste? When does it become we run out of the things that we need to continue on this path? That's more of what I'm worried about. I feel like if you keep going, you're eventually going to run out of something that you need. And then you have to find something to replace it. And it's not that easy to replace natural resources, right? I just don't think it is. So let's see what this robot can do. Because, I mean, I think this shit's wild. I just, where it's going and where it is today is crazy.
Put down your cookbook and open up ChatGPT. AI is ready to be your personal chef.
Oh, shit, it's connected to AI?
Where you can also get my newsletter. Have you ever wanted a personal assistant who could cook your meals, clean your home, and patrol your factory? The Eve Android is a robot my God. That can do it all. Utilizing a modified version of GPT-4, which powers
it's on
ChatGPT, the robot is capable of teaching itself how to do simple and sometimes complex tasks. Using visual inputs and artificial intelligence, the Eve Android can create delicious meals with only the ingredients already in your kitchen cabinets and fridge. It can also easily switch between baking a cake and cleaning the dishes. What more would you want? Maybe you'd like to see a robot who could take care of monotonous tasks or take on work too hazardous for humans. Eve Android, well, can do that too. Norwegian company 1X wants its androids to serve as personal assistants, especially for the elderly. But that future may be far off. The company favors a gradual introduction of androids into homes, believing that the public will get more comfortable with their presence over time. More cool, crazy tech like this at cyberguy.com.
Wow. I mean, it is amazing, right? It is amazing. I mean, but this is so much more. UPS just laid off 12,000 people. Walgreens are closing left and right. A housing company just filed for bankruptcy. We just lost which was that business? There was another business that just filed for bankruptcy and let off about 3,000 people. This has all been in the last month, everybody. The last month, for some reason, people are filing for bankruptcy and hospitals, because of a Ponzi scheme, might be closing across Massachusetts. What happened? How is it that all of these companies right now, and I think it's pretty much all of them, I'll eat my words if I'm wrong, but I believe they all took from the COVID-19 pandemic, they took payouts from the government to, I don't know, pay their employees, keep them employed while they were locked down, pay for updates, plastic, all the things that we were supposed to do so that we could open up again and serve to the public. And now, a couple years later, all of a sudden, these companies can't stand on their own two legs. They're falling apart. They're laying off people, and they're closing their doors. So, isn't that fraud? And it's like, so now what? We're just going to have a whole bunch of robots unloading trucks, filling shelves. The brand new Amazon fulfillment center in, I think it's either North Andover or Andover, Massachusetts. That building is 5 million. You heard me right. 5 million square feet. I've been told by people that work there that there are people working on like levels 1 and 2. And I think it goes up to level 4 or 5. That's how many stories there are. Those are all run by robots now. Even some of the workers I was dealing with, I was talking to on the first floor that I got to meet, they said that they sometimes work side by side with these things. So how long before it's so easy for them to be like, see, told you, you'll be happy and you will have nothing, but you'll be happy. And I'm like, wow, we are so much closer to that, because now so many more people are going to be on unemployment by February 1st. And now more and more robots can do more and more things, especially the dangerous things that even the women who say that they want to be treated equal like a man in the working industry, and men take more chances, right? We'll work a risky job because if the money's there, it's there. So now you take that away from us. And I guess at that point, there's no dangerous jobs left for men to do, and robots are doing them all. Then I guess at that point, men and women would be equal in the workforce. Because nobody but the robots are doing the dangerous jobs, right? So therefore, there is no split anymore. Huh. I don't know. It is a wacky world we are living in, for sure. I've got humanoid robot startup debuts electric somersaulting robot. Magic Lab, a recently launched humanoid robot startup. Another one, everybody. Another one. Said that it's the first company to challenge Boston Dynamics Acrobatic Atlas robot. Magic Lab, a humanoid robot startup, has debuted the prototype of its electric bipedal robot. In a video release, the robot is shown performing front flips in a feat of engineering that the company said is the first of its kind to challenge the same moves by Boston Dynamics. I mean, this is a Silicon Valley-based startup, but again, more robots? I mean, man, there's so many of them today. Now we got quantum computing? Whoa. Tension 750, speed 120, huh, D190 accelerator, Rated outboard tow is 150 Nm. Oh, I guess that's three people. Maximum output, 525 Nm. Is that nanometers? These robots are crazy. They're crazy. This stuff is absolutely wild, everybody. And you can see that it just keeps continuing. More and more and more. There's more robots. They're doing more things. Everybody's competing with everybody. And at the end of the day, I think we're the only ones that are unsafe. we are in for a wacky future. I told you. I believe this. It'd be 1,000% true today. We are eventually going to get to that point where we have nothing and we're happy. And we're not going to do it by them telling us. We're going to have to do it because these robots are going to take everything away from us. They're going to do everything for us. We're not going to have to do anything. So maybe this could be good. Maybe if I don't have to work and earn money because I'm just getting money and I'm going to be happy with that money, I've already purchased everything that I need and want for the most part, right? And they're going to give me all the essentials. So maybe I will get to do podcasting permanently in the future. Wouldn't that be something? Maybe we will get to do what we want to do when these robots are all capable of doing what we don't want to do for us. Government's not going to take away all of this. When the robots get to such an advancement, we, the people, are going to allow the robots to do everything for us. And because of that, we're not going to have to do anything and we will be happy. So I will be happy. But I'm still going to have something? I don't know. Fuck, man. This is crazy. I think we're going to do it to ourselves. The government wants to do it to us, but we're going to allow it to happen by the use of robots. I don't know. We got to dig more into this. But that's the podcast today, everybody. I really do want to say thank you to all my subscribers. Thank you to the new subscribers. If you're just popping in and checking it out, remember to subscribe. It's free for you. It's the most important thing you can do for the podcast. It helps it grow. It keeps me coming back week after week. And it allows this thing that I've curated to grow, to become more, to get updated, and to add more things and have more guests on and have more camera angles and all the things that I put into the podcast, it's because you're subscribing. So continue to hit that subscribe button. And of course, if you want your opportunity to be on this podcast, TALKIN with Topher at gmail.com is the official email of the podcast. Again, if you want to tell your story or there's a story that needs to be heard, you can send an audio, video, or type it out. But remember to send it over to talkinwithtopher@gmail.com. It's the official email of the podcast, all right? And then, of course, the Linktree link. I need you to be clicking it, all right? I need you to go there and copy it. Share it with everyone. It's the easiest way to share the podcast with everybody you know. And then, of course, if you're looking for more content, you can click it. It's in the description below the video. And, of course, you'll find everything TWT through that link tree. It's just that easy. But on that note, I hope everybody out there try not to get sick. Boy, it's difficult right now, and I feel like absolute garbage today. So I hope everybody out there enjoys the rest of your Thursday. I hope you have an enjoyable weekend. And as always, I will talk to you later.